So first of all, we should probably talk about her name, Mary. There are several Marys in the New Testament. It's a good name and was a somewhat common name. So this Mary is not Mary, the mother of Jesus. Not that Mary that we're talking about. That's not the one. And this Mary is not Mary, the mother of Mark. She's mentioned a couple of times in the New Testament. That's not this Mary. But this Mary is, in fact, the sister of two other Bible characters that we know. Can you tell me? Anyone? Martha and Lazarus. Very good. Very good. You all are either very well-read Bible scholars or you saw it on the paper. Either way is fine. Either way is fine. So she's the sister of Martha and Lazarus, and they lived in a town called Bethany. So why would that be significant? Bethany? Does that mean anything to us? Again, it's there on your sheet. It's kind of at the top of the page there, just background information. Why would that be important to think about? Do y'all know where Bethany was located? Not really. Very close to Jerusalem. So just about what we would call miles, about 2 miles to the east of Jerusalem. And that's interesting because Jesus stayed in her home. In particular, all during the last week before the crucifixion. So when Jesus was, we're reading a lot of portions in the Gospels about how Jesus was going to Jerusalem every single day and into the temple and so many events that happened in and around Jerusalem during that week of the crucifixion. Well, he was, every night, he was in Bethany. And that's where he was staying. And the scripture tells us that Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. So this family was very close friends of Jesus. You may wonder, did Jesus have any friends? Seems like his life and ministry was a little bit lonely at times. Did anybody really understand him? Well, he was very close to these three on that human level. You know, it's a whole different topic for a whole different day, but God's designed us to have loving friendships. And in this case, this is on the human level, a close friendship that Jesus enjoyed with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Well, we made this point, as I say, a few weeks back when we were studying this Sunday school lesson about Mary. We made the point, every time that we read about Mary in the New Testament, she's always at the feet of Jesus. She's always getting closer and closer to him, as close as she possibly can. She's always coming closer and closer to Jesus. And that's why we could title this lesson, Devoted to Jesus. You and I, we have to ask ourselves the question, am I really devoted to Jesus? We can devote ourselves and our attention to a lot of different things, but are we really that close to the Lord? She's an amazing example in that specific regard. So what do we have to do in order to be devoted to the Lord? And that's what we're looking at here, point one, two, three different scriptures, starting with Luke chapter 10. We'll see these three vital elements that devotion requires. So I invite you to turn to Luke chapter 10, and I'm going to ask somebody to read this out. So I don't know if one of you ladies would be willing to read 4 or 5 verses there. Luke chapter 10 and verses 38 through 42. Does anybody have that? You could go ahead and read. Thank you very much for reading that portion. I think this is a familiar scripture. If you read the New Testament at all, you probably remember this story about Martha and Mary. It's pretty well known. We have a pretty distinct contrast here between two sisters. Martha was doing one thing, Mary was doing another thing, and that's where we get a spiritual lesson and a spiritual application. Number one, devotion requires fellowship. So right in that blank there, only 3 blanks. You're welcome to write as many notes as you want to write, but just in the blank, devotion requires fellowship. You have to get close to somebody if you're really devoted to them or to a cause. Well, you have to get as much information about that cause or a person, as much information about that person. You just want to get closer and closer to that person all the time. Devotion to Christ requires fellowship. And there's Mary as an example of getting close to the Lord. In contrast to Martha. Now, Martha made a choice, and Mary made a choice. I don't exactly know, ladies, what it's like to feel that pressure of welcoming guests into your home. For men, it's a little different. When men look around the house, we say, hey, looks fine. You know, let's have some people over. It's not a problem. And we're not that worried about it, but I understand it's for the woman of the house, it's a little different situation. So you feel that pressure when guests are coming your way, and I know that it's a little different. Everything needs to be just right, and the food has to be just so, and the furniture has to be just squared away, and everything's got to be clean. So it seems like Martha was feeling that pressure. As we read the first couple of verses there, she had a very, very important guest in her home, and it seemed like she recognized that. Now, tell me about this. Is it wrong to work hard to welcome a guest into your house? Is that wrong? No, of course not. And if we're talking about service for the Lord, is that wrong? So Martha's really, actually, she's serving the Lord directly. Some of us say, I'd like to serve the Lord, but it's not quite as direct as what Martha was doing. He was right there in her house. Think about that. Wow. Is it wrong to serve the Lord, ladies? No. So we're just asking some basic questions here. No, not at all. So then why is this very distinct contrast made in this scripture? What do you think about that? It's not wrong to work hard to have guests in your home and serve them, and it's definitely not wrong to serve the Lord. I don't think it's going to surprise you that the application is we need to spend time with the Lord. It's the only way, really. If you're devoted to somebody, you have to spend time with them. Look at the last verse there, verse 42. One thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. So in our notes, we say Mary made a choice. Martha made a choice to work hard and serve. There's nothing wrong with that, but as so many of you have expressed, sometimes that working hard can replace our spiritual walk with the Lord. I think for some of us, the activity actually becomes a substitute. All the things that we're doing for the Lord becomes a substitute for actually knowing Him and listening to Him. Again, somebody pointed out there's a balance here. Nothing at all wrong with working hard for the Lord and for people, but don't let that replace your walk with the Lord. And Jesus said that can't be taken away from her. So that's the promise that Mary received. I just know that our time is going to run out this morning because there's so many good points we could make here. But real quick, ladies, what do you think about that expression, shall not be taken away from her? How is it that something that like what Martha was doing, how could that be taken away from her, but what Mary was doing could never be taken away from her? What do you think about that?
And so her spiritual needs were met, whereas Mary neglected.
Martha, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and our walk with God in the morning is something that goes with us throughout the day no matter what. Now, the plans that we make and the things that we do, that can be altered. And we might not see the positive result and the positive effect from the hard work that we're doing. Circumstances can change. But if we meet with God in the morning and we have a really good foundation for the day, we take that with us all day long, no matter what. That goes with us. Yes, comment back here. Okay. Right, the opportunities that we have might change too. Yeah. Right. Good. So the basic application here, devotion to Christ requires fellowship. Let me just ask you, have you had time with the Lord today? I'll just ask you directly, have you taken time with Him? Have you spent time in God's Word? Let me read a few good scriptures for you. Psalm 1, speaking of the good man, the blessed man, and of course speaking about women as well. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate. When does it say? Day and night. Psalm 119, the psalmist says, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. See, you can't take that away from somebody who's got scripture in his or her heart. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Romans chapter 10, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Jesus said, John chapter 5, search the scriptures. They are they which testify of me. Number two, and now we're turning over to John chapter 11, devotion to Christ requires submission. Devotion to Christ requires submission. And what we're seeing here is yet another story about Mary and how she was interacting with Jesus, John chapter 11. Some of you might recall, John chapter 11, what's the big event or the big news that we read about in John chapter 11? What has happened?
Lazarus
has died. Yeah, and that's the majority of the chapter. Lazarus has died. Now, we've already established, you already know this, Lazarus was a very good friend of Jesus on the human level. Jesus cared deeply about Lazarus and Martha and Mary. And so when Lazarus dies and Jesus waits, questions arise in our mind. Some of us have read this chapter so many times we can't recall the first time we read the chapter. But what if it's the first time you've ever heard this story? And Jesus receives news that his good friend Lazarus is sick and he does nothing. He just waits. And then Lazarus dies. And on the fourth day, Jesus finally goes over there. Well, Martha and Mary had those exact questions that you would expect somebody to have. Martha and Mary both asked essentially the same question. Where were you? Where were you? Why didn't you come? But once again in this passage, there's a contrast between the two sisters. So it's point number two in the notes, devotion to Christ requires submission. And it seems here that Mary's attitude is one of submission in this very tragic event. So, can one of you ladies read out for us verse 31 through 33, John 11?
And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by.
That's a good scripture. That sounds like Luke, though, maybe.
That's Luke.
Luke 11? No. That's a great scripture. Let's study that one next week. Okay.
The Jews then were with her in the house and comforted her. When they saw Mary, then she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goes to the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and she saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled.
No, that's fine. We'll stop right there. Those three verses give us the gist of the interaction between Mary and Jesus. Thank you very much for reading. Now, what we're going to see here is that Mary and Martha said the same thing, but in two different ways. I have in my notes, I have a quote from one Bible commentator that's noting, Mary's words were identical to those of Martha, but Jesus' response to the two sisters was different. Mary showed an attitude of devotion and submission. Could one of you read verse 21 for us, please? Same chapter, verse 21. Thank you. That's probably what I would have said. It's what Martha said. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. That's what Mary said down there in verse 32. But look at the difference, though. Verse 32, once again, when Mary saw Jesus, she fell down at his feet. And that is a difference not just in posture, but in heart attitude. So when Martha expresses that thought, there's a conversation between Jesus and Martha. Jesus trying to adjust her perspective and to help her to come to a faith perspective. But Mary's already in the perspective of adoration and worship. She falls down in submission and says the exact same words. Now, just really quickly, let me try to bring the application. It's a short passage. We'll make the point very clear. When there's some kind of trouble, trial, or challenge in our lives, it's always the right response to pray to the Lord. It's always the right response. for Martha to go to Jesus and say, I'm really troubled. I have questions about this situation. I need help. That was right. She was talking to the right person. She was going to the right source. But it seems like her attitude was one of maybe correction or challenge. And Jesus had to help her with her perspective. Mary started off the conversation by falling down on the ground. Now that's pretty unmistakable. Even if you didn't speak their language, if you saw that scene, you would know, obviously, without any doubt, that Mary was submitted to Jesus. You just could not mistake that. And prayed exactly the same prayer, if I can say it that way, but with a whole different attitude. Now, sometimes, ladies, when there's a trouble in our life, we go to the Lord in prayer and we start off our prayer by saying, Lord, and then we start telling Him what He ought to do. You see what I mean? The word Lord means He's in charge.
Mm-hmm. Basically talking about a relationship with him?
I think so. I think that's a good way of saying it.
She has a relationship with me.
Yeah.
She spent time with me.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and that's an excellent point. Talking about a relationship in John chapter 11, this is not the first time that Martha and Mary have talked to Jesus. This is part of an ongoing relationship. And it's pretty clear that the nature of the relationship is a little different. You know, Mary and Jesus versus Martha and Jesus. So, the takeaway point here, the point to remember, it is definitely right to go to God in prayer. Once again, we've got a little contrast between Martha and Mary. Martha's not doing the wrong thing. Just like back in Luke chapter 10, she's not doing the wrong thing. Just her perspective needs to be adjusted. And it's not wrong at all to go to God in prayer and ask for help, but with a heart of submission. You tell me what to do. You tell me how to think about this. You're in charge, I'm not. Yes?
That just be another illustration of what we were talking about before. That Mary would have prepared in her spirit for that reaction because of the relationship with Christ and the devotion. You know, at the time sitting at his feet. So Martha may not have probably had that level of understanding, and her response would have been,
I think that's fair, and I think that's fair based on the response of Jesus. It's so much different. Martha, we didn't take time to read the passage, but Jesus had to ask her some questions and help her to come to a position of faith. On the other hand, when Mary comes to Jesus, submits herself to Him, and says the same exact words, you know what that prompts from Jesus is a response. Now I'm ready to help you. Show me the grave. So I don't know. I agree with you. The ladies here who have been bringing out, there's an ongoing relationship. The relationship is a little different between Mary and Martha, and Jesus is quick to respond to Mary.
Do you think Mary and Martha are close?
Yeah. Now that's a point. I don't know if we have time to discuss this, ladies. I don't. I can't delve into the mysteries of sisterhood. I have sisters myself, but it's different between a brother and a sister versus sisters, two girls who are sisters. It's an interesting kind of a relationship. How close were they? I don't know. I don't know. It's a good question. I'm not sure. She had that, or Mary had that basis of their past communications, their past relationship.
It's kind of like the world.
Yeah.
You know, to the world, Martha would be the one that they would pray.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary would be overlooked. But,
yeah.
You know, Jesus does things opposite of the world. So if you look at why He focuses on Mary, you can see why.
And that comment right there is an excellent introduction for the final portion here. Let's go over to Mark 14. The world would look at Mary and say, who's she? You know, what has she really done? But Jesus said, she will be remembered around the world. Everywhere that people read and study and preach on and teach on this gospel message, everywhere in the world, Mary will be remembered and talked about. So that's Mark chapter 14, and this is a story about Mary giving that very sacrificial gift to Jesus. She anointed him with that very expensive ointment, and you're probably familiar with that story too. So we won't take a lot of time. We'll just read a few verses here. Mark 14. Well, once again, could one of you help me by reading verse 3 and then 6 through 9? How about that? Verse 3 and then 6 through 9. Anyone?
And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. Verse 6, and Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, you may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of her for a memorial of her.
All right, thank you very much. So this is in a way the pinnacle moment of Mary's life as we read it in the New Testament. And we see here her giving up everything she had. They're in Bethany. They're in Mary and Martha's home at this time. This is after the resurrection of Lazarus, and not actually that long after. So Jesus is there staying in their home just a few days before the crucifixion. And I don't know exactly the time, but a period of weeks after the resurrection of Lazarus. So that's what's happening in Mary's mind and heart at this time. She's received her brother from the grave, you know. She's got her brother back, and Jesus did that. And that was just a period, you know, a short time ago, very fresh on everybody's mind. And then Mary seems to have some spiritual understanding that the crucifixion is coming, and she's aware of that. And so in that context, she makes this great sacrifice. And that's point number 3, devotion requires sacrifice. So let's just check and make sure. Number 1, devotion requires fellowship. Number 2, devotion requires submission. Number 3, devotion requires sacrifice. So I'm assuming you've heard this story before, but that ointment that Mary gave to Jesus at that time was pretty much her life savings. It was equivalent to something like a whole year's wage for a working man. So we're talking about a very, very valuable gift, not just in dollars and cents, but in the fact that Mary was giving up financially all the security she had. She was giving that away. She gave up her whole savings account. Have you ever given 100% to God? You know, that's what Mary was doing right here. And it wasn't even, for her, it wasn't even a sacrifice. She wanted to do it. Nobody told Mary you ought to do that. Nobody suggested. Nobody nudged her in the ribs and said, hey, there's Jesus. You ought to give an expensive gift. It was in her heart. I think so often we're waiting for God to force us to do things for him. If he really, really convicts me, I'll make a sacrifice for the Lord. But Mary wanted to. So you know all of that, but then see the response of Jesus. He made a promise to her. He gave her a reward, not a financial reward. He didn't say, well, thank you for that. I'll give you a lot of money back. He gave her a spiritual reward. He said, you'll be remembered forever. And here we are once again talking about Mary. Just like Jesus said so long ago, people will talk about you. You know, if somebody made me that offer, give up your life savings to the Lord and people will remember that for thousands of years all around the world. Well, I would do that, sure, but nobody made that offer to Mary. She just wanted to. So ladies, whatever you have available to you, are you willing to give it? That's what Mary had. She had that box of ointment. What do you have? And she gave it all. And she received that response from the Lord. Well, as so many of you have pointed out, this was just the result. This was not the first time that Mary had had a conversation or a meeting with Jesus. This was a result of an ongoing relationship that she had with him. She gave sacrificially to him. She received a reward. As we wrap up, let me read one quote to you here from the missionary Hudson Taylor. I think many of you have heard of Hudson Taylor before, but let me read this quote about his personal walk with the Lord. He said, "I have been spending an hour in happy communion with him, whose wondrous grace has called and numbered me with his people. The more I see of myself and the more I learn of him, the more I am astonished that he can ever have given me a place among his children. It is only at the foot of the cross we truly see ourselves, the world, and God in true light. There alone can we form true impressions, and how far short they still fall of the full reality. I do indeed need your prayers to work on and on without seeing results. It takes much faith, and mine is so weak. What I need is more faith, more intimate communion with God. We can give only that which we first receive." So that was Hudson Taylor writing to a friend about how he needed more intimate time alone with the Lord to learn of him. On the bottom of this sheet, we've got a little, what would you call that? I don't know. A little quiz for you to think about your walk with the Lord, and maybe you can just take those thoughts at the bottom of the page in the table discussion time here to prompt some discussion about what do you do? What's your plan for your personal time with God? And how can you, maybe suggestions you could offer to others, how to be more consistent when life is so busy and there's so many pressures. Okay? Questions? Comments? All right. Thank you all. Have a good day.